You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, microplastics are everywhere. Tiny particles that break up from all kinds of unnatural products, from polyester shirts and spandex to nylon gill nets and floating buoys out in the ocean. But not all plastics are the same. Along BC's coast near Prince Rupert, the North Coast Ecology Center Society has embarked on a two-year study to determine how microplastics may be impacting the sensitive North Coast ecology and marine life. So far, through a four-month pilot project and now a full year into the two-year study, preliminary accounts suggest microplastics and other larger marine debris is all over the northern coast of BC. Locating the microplastics is the easy part. Finding out where they came from and how to limit them is much more difficult. Colin Masson is a board member with the North Coast Ecology Center Society and has spent decades along BC's coast. I caught up with him on his sailboat in the Prince Rupert Harbor to hear about why the Ecology Society wanted to undertake the microplastic study now. Stay with us.
So yeah, my name's Colin Masson, and I'm one of the directors on the North Coast Ecology Center Society here in Prince Rupert. And that society's been around for a decade or so, and I've only been a board member the last few years. But its mandate is to try to promote awareness, understanding, and respect for the special attributes of the North Coast ecology, with the specific purpose of developing a aquarium for sharing information and educating people about special attributes.
And as we were talking before, it looks like the container, the public containers, is almost ready to open, and it looks like it's going to be open all summer, and people get to go in there and see creatures and also learn about what, you know, uniqueness that the North Coast ecology has here, because it is quite unique. And which brings us to the issue at hand, that the study that you've undertaken, or that you're a year into, looking at microplastics and how, I would imagine, how that affects a lot of this ecology. And so maybe tell me, how did this kind of come to be, and what precipitated this? Why did you want to start looking into microplastics here on the North Coast?
Well, the society has been looking at a variety of different opportunities to learn more about what's actually happening. So there were several directors, of the society a few years ago had started to zero in on the potential for a microplastics kind of study, and had learned about a company based out of Victoria, or the Sandwich Peninsula, that was a scientific research company, but had developed a citizen science approach to collecting and analyzing microplastics. And it was through learning about that company and what they were doing that some of the previous directors had sort of earmarked this as a potential project. That we then began with a little bit of funding from Department of Fisheries and Oceans, the Science Branch, Environmental Studies Group, provided some initial money, and we ran a 4 or 5 month project. 4 or 5 sites in the harbor here, some which required boat access, some which we could drive to. And essentially the process is collecting a 1 meter square subsample from the beach, but it's a series of randomly selected samples, half a dozen for each site, mm-hmm. once a month, and 5 centimeters deep. So 1 meter by 5 centimeters deep. Collect the substrate off of that, label it, goes into a bucket, goes back to the laboratory, and subsequently is sieved, and then analyzed for microplastics. It's a long and laborious kind of process, sifting through that and then identifying the microplastics. And they can be identified in a way that helps to identify the particular type of microplastic, and then we can take a subsample of those and send them to this company in Victoria that will determine the polymer structure of the microplastics, which is provides us some information about where it might be coming from. Where's the source of the microplastics in the environment that's lodged in the environment? And we look at various sites around the harbor. So some are protected bays, some are more exposed bays, but trying to get a bay with some finer sand or fine gravel, but mostly sand and silt mixed in with gravel is what we've got. So yeah, that initial project showed, yes indeed, there was microplastics to be found in the beaches through the winter months, and it was only a 5-month project, that first project. But sufficient information to enable us to apply for a 2-year longer funding program. That is where we're at now. We've wrapped up the first year of that and into the second year funding of that at this point. And now we've added a few sites. There's a site at the mouth of the Skeena River, and there's two sites out in Chatham Sound, one at Lucy Island and one out by Stevens Island. And so these added sites are to try to get a little further information about the source of the microplastics and, you know, to check out. We're all still in the early stages of learning about this, but to see if there's a greater quantity and prevalence of microplastics that originate from marine industrial debris. Fishing debris, fishing industry debris, old aquaculture debris, that kind of thing. There's a variety of sources, but certainly that's what we found to be quite the prevalent source. And so this way it gives us a bit of a handle, and also the one at the mouth of the Skeena, it's siltier substrate there, of course, it's an idea, it's an opportunity to see if we aren't getting plastic material that would be sourced through the Skeena itself. But it's still early days. We can't really say anything categorically about what we're finding yet. And although microplastics seem to be everywhere. And
what we were chatting about before, you know, we started to record here, you know, we know that it's ubiquitous across, you know, marine environments that we're finding microplastics. We're finding a lot of marine debris, as you were mentioning, and even in remote places. And, you know, even though, you know, the study is to try to figure out where this is coming from, you know, what's kind of the plan going forward? Is there a possibility that we could clean this up? I mean, there's so much. I mean, even in us, I mean, you know, regularly humans are consuming like a credit card worth of plastic. They're finding it in fetus. It's in salmon. You know, it's been found in salmon. You just kind of wonder, you know, where's the end, and is it possible to you know, clean this up in some fashion?
Well, I think you're asking the wrong person. So, I mean, at this point, the society is really just trying to gather information. Yeah. And if we can identify some typical sources, then we might be able to motivate more of the public to do one of two things. One, help clean up the beaches, remove the debris, and there's programs that have been in place, provincially funded to work on a lot of that in the last few years since COVID. But the other thing is to get people to perhaps be more aware of the source of plastics. And, you know, there's all this international agreements that are being discussed globally right now about trying to curb plastic production and find ways to manage it much more effectively. So a lot of that's going to boil down to people being aware of their use of plastics and the need to come to grips with that. You know, single-use plastics are just like a real problem for society and for the globe, and we have to come to grips with that. And other kinds of plastics can have good uses for society, but we have to figure out how to manage this at a local level, at a bigger regional level, and with our participation in global activities as well. So no, our society is not going to solve all that. The North Coast Ecology Center Society is interested in understanding it. And depending on what we actually learn, maybe we can do more work to zero in on potential sources. I think that the practical thing is we found in our Coastal Conversation seminar, when we talked about marine debris and plastics, that there was a lot of interest in people participating in cleanup days, beach cleanups. They're annually held. Our society sponsored some, others do. We hope to be able to encourage people to participate at that level as well as being personally aware of their use of plastics.
You mentioned, and that's always kind of the thing, is trying to get, you know, citizens involved, community involved. But you mentioned that this is a citizen science approach. How can people get involved and do this themselves, or get in touch and take part in this, knowing that you're in the first year, you know, going into a multi-year project here? How do you get people involved with this?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, what we're finding is we have a paid employee on this project, and often there's a board director might go along, or a volunteer might go to help, because we're lifting heavy buckets of sand and it's hard work, and climbing in and out of boats and the ways, and you know, so it's not necessarily fun work, but I would say people who are interested can research this, the subject of citizen science microplastics analysis. A company based out of Vancouver Island called Ocean Diagnostics. That company has a kit available. And if there's a serious group, like they work with groups on the Sunshine Coast, on Vancouver Island, Lower Mainland, and help them do the same kind of work we're doing, analyze beaches for microplastics, and then the data is comparable, and the data ends up on a database that's publicly available. So you can start to look at the prevalence of different kinds of microplastics in different beaches and different parts of the Salish Sea or west coast of Vancouver Island, and now in Prince Rupert or the North Coast. So, and I think what you'll see is that they are everywhere in different quantities, amounts, you know.
You're a mariner. You got a boat. You were sitting on your boat here, and you mentioned you've been up and down the coast, and you also had these coastal conversations talking about some of this, the debris, the marine debris. You know, what have you seen, and also what did you hear during those conversations about what are folks seeing out and about around the North Coast when they are on their boats going up and down, sailing around?
Oh, well, I can say from a personal perspective that my partner Beth and I have traveled, from North Coast to South Coast and back again several times, and over to Haida Gwaii, Gwaihannas, and as a board member on the Archipelago Management Board in Gwaihannas, I've had annual trips there. And we find, like, the marine debris, it's absolutely shocking. You'll be in a remote beach, say, I don't know, the outside of Rispal Island, you know, where you're pretty much, you know, ocean swell coming in from Japan. You'll be on a beautiful remote beach walking along, and you'll be picking up water bottles with, Southeast Asian language on them. You'll be picking up floats, fishing floats from fishing industry. You'll pick up ropes all tangled in amongst the logs. It's just, and styrofoam blocks broken down into every size of styrofoam, down to rice noodle size, all mixed in a remote beach where all you're gonna find is wolf tracks. It's unbelievable. And this is what's happened to the coast. I'm anxious, actually, to have a look at the debris patch in the middle of the ocean. Having, you know, read articles about it and seen photos of it, it's shocking. Yeah. The collection of human waste in the middle of the ocean, in the big gyre out there, And so, BC has got so much wild, amazing coastline, unbelievable, stunningly beautiful, and it can be wild and make you realize the humility of humans. At the same time, you are reminded constantly of how we trash the planet, and it's pretty disgusting, and sad, and I'm struck with the juxtaposition of it all sometimes. I'll be on some absolutely remote beach. I think of one of the outer Central Coast Islands, walking along, and there's this marine debris and plastics which has drifted across the ocean, or come from our coast. And then you turn the corner and there's a stream coming in, and here's a 10,000-year-old indigenous fish trap. And you just, it all kind of, it makes you realize that, as humans, we've been living on this world for a long time and on this coast for a long time. And the signs of our indigenous friends and their heritage are absolutely everywhere. And yet you'll see these, and at the same time, you're seeing the signs of our waste and destruction over the last 20 years or 5 years or 50 years. And so it's, there's all of that on the BC coast, and signs of rich heritage and long sustainable living, and signs of recent wanton destruction and beauty.
Always the beauty. I mean, it's still there. Just the last thing for you, Colin, what comes next year? You said you just completed or in the first year of this project.
We completed the first year. We did a pilot project. We've completed the first year, and we're into our second year. So by this time next year, we'll have wrapped up this project. And whether we pursue ongoing funding or not, we're unsure at this point. But we'll be looking closely at the results. We will communicate them to, the public here in Rupert and the Northwest. And we'll see where it leads us, There'll be great discussion at the board, and we'll see if there's some follow-up. And also the concepts of sponsoring more beach cleanup days and information and awareness activities will be on our agenda for sure.
Well, we'll definitely stay in touch and check back in with you and see the results of your studies.
Sure. Looking forward to it.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.